Hey, everybody. Welcome to Reality TV Rehap-Ups for Episode 10 of Season 6 of The Amazing Race Canada, Heroes Edition. Now, I'm taking a break from playing my vids with my fellas to break it all down for you here. My name is Jessica Leese, and with me, as always, is my favorite vid-playing fella, Dan Heaton. How's it going?
Good, Jess. Who knew that playing video games so much could help you possibly to win a bunch of money? I had no idea.
I did, but only because this kind of happened the last time we saw one of these simulators and every time before it. But all that being said, it is a tough week to talk about, I think. We're still kind of reeling from the shocking loss and trying to figure out how we're going to go on, because Phil and Martina, and I thought they were going to be with us forever. I really don't know what the show has to offer without them.
Yeah, I was really torn just because I didn't want any of these teams to lose. And especially once it came down just to two teams, you kind of had a sense the top two, especially the top team, was not going to lose. It was really hard because I want to root for Team Dan. I want to root for Adam and Courtney. But man, I just assumed Phil and Martina were going to be in the finals. I don't know why. I mean, they've never won a leg, but they've never really been in trouble. And I just, for some reason in my head, had this feeling like, if you would have said what was the least likely option, just based on everything I've seen, I thought they were going to be like second or third place. I thought them winning was unlikely, but I did not see this coming. And now you just kind of like, we're looking at next week and they're showing the finale clips. And I'm like, everybody seems excited, but no Martina, man.
Yeah, there is a Martina-shaped hole in our hearts this week. It's no good.
Yeah, give us a few seasons, you know. We'll see her again, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they are a lock to come back if ever they want to. And we're going to get into this when we get to our questions. But you have to think that somewhere Suki and Jinder are watching this being like, but we were the quirky siblings. How dare you usurp us? But usurp them, they did.
Yeah, I mean, they were in a cast of a bunch of fun teams, they were the standout. And even in a different way than, like, you can look back to last season and say, oh, Team Giver was a standout. This is different. This is a team that was funny and big characters, but that also, as you saw by the way they exited, also had tons of heart, too. I'm not trying to say the Team Giver is the opposite. I'm just saying that they finished, and like a lot of times you'll have a really nice team, like nice people that are a little boring, that have kind of a heartbreaking, sad finale, or even one like even last season, we think about Karen and Bert, who were in fourth place. And I think likable people had some nice moments. I felt bad for them, but this is totally different. This is like, it's crushing just because I want to spend another hour with both of them.
Yeah, we need like, you know, the confessionals they show at the end of every Survivor episode. I want at least that, but I want it for like an hour.
Yeah. And I even read a few exit interviews and they were just text, but they were funny. And I was just like, oh, these guys, they exceeded our expectations in terms of their performance on the race. And it never felt like shtick. That's a tricky thing to do, to be funny and goofy and unexpected and to never feel like you're doing it. Like even in an exit interview, Martina said, like, I had no idea we'd be that funny. Like even when they were on it, I don't think when you're on a show like this, they're like, you know, the legs are sometimes multiple days or hours. You don't know how they're going to present you. She didn't know that she was going to, you know, but it's all there. I mean, they were funny.
Yeah, I think every one of these teams is expecting they're going to go on and be the funny ones. And so it's strange to hear a team think that they potentially weren't going to be the funny ones.
Yeah, I mean, even these last four teams, I mean, Dylan and Kwame have had funny moments. Adam and Courtney have had funny moments. And the thing about it is like Taylor and Courtney are not duds. I mean, they have personality, but it's just when you're comparing to the other teams, you're kind of like, man, it's hard to compete in a way with this.
I think Taylor especially had some good moments this week. And Courtney has facial expressions. I think. Everybody has their own brand of humor that they bring to it. And while Taylor and Courtney have been kind of quieter than some of the other teams, they are really, I wouldn't even put them in the stealth funny category, but they've had some moments where I've thought, yeah, these guys on another season would be the funny team.
Yeah, and it just says a lot about this cast, because you think even back to the teams that went out 5th and 6th, Nancy and Melissa and Leanna Marr, both teams that were good on TV and good racers. I mean, I'm not going to go any further back, but I'm just saying, you look at this group, and part of it is we lucked out, and this is no offense to the teams that went out, the first four teams that went out, but we really had a good final six, and I think it really paid off last week, and it paid off this week. I felt like this was also a strong episode. I mean, what do you think about it?
Yeah, I thought it was great. It was really physically and mentally taxing. I think everybody, I would potentially put this up there. This might be the hardest leg that we had all season. There have been a few contenders for that. This is up there, though. This looked like two incredibly difficult detours. There was a physically demanding face-off and the roadblock that must have hit you pretty hard once your brain was fried from everything else you'd done that leg. And all of this with the fact that they are coming off of an international flight. It's a lot to do. And I was pretty impressed with how everybody held up.
Yeah, I thought the roadblock was really going to stump somebody. Like, because all of them did the same thing where they spent a bunch of times, especially Adam. So I know we're jumping ahead, but they spent a bunch of time on it, just to quickly say it. And all of them hung in there. And overall, we saw that the whole leg where, man, that detour, just the whole thing. There was no joke to this. And I like that, because it feels like, despite losing Martina and Phil, they had opportunities. It wasn't like a case where they just couldn't do it. They were right there. And so it made it where you feel like the teams that made it really earned it. There was no cakewalk for anyone here, even the strong physical teams.
Yeah, and I think sometimes you have legs where a team goes out and it's entirely their fault. And so you don't feel like people have really necessarily earned it so much as the team in last place gave it to them. But I don't think that's the case here. I think everybody was fighting hard the whole way, and everybody did an amazing job.
Yeah, for sure. It was entertaining to watch. It flew by. They packed in the tasks. And the Amazing Race Canada, I feel like this episode, the episode 10, it generally is, but the second to last episode, especially in the season since we've started covering it, have all been really strong. And it could be coincidence that they do the face-off and there seems to be so much on it, but it tends to be too. The face-offs always seem to be better this one than the first face-offs. And it's just there. I think a lot of it is stakes, but to me, this episode, not to set up, I remember these even more than I typically remember what happens in the finales.
Well, I think it is a sad fact of the Amazing Race, and always has been, that the first episode and the last episode are typically the weakest episodes. And so what happens is, once you get towards the end of the season, you're down to like 6 teams, 5 teams, 4 teams. Those episodes are really tight and really fun and full of suspense, and you're so attached to the teams you don't want any of them to leave. And then you get into the finale, and I think part of this is just the way it's structured. In order to find out who wins at the end of the finale, there is still a bunch of falling action after that. And so you don't end the finale with seeing your winner, and there's not a good way to present that in a way that makes any kind of narrative sense. So in a way, it's sort of like you run your leg and you get your winner, and then you have to watch everybody else finish the race. And that's somehow not as satisfying. I think that's always been for me why the finale isn't as much fun as necessarily the final four.
Right. And barring a really rare foot race to the finish or something that has all three right there, or a crazy memory challenge, a lot of times, you even when it's close, a team is usually 20 minutes ahead, 15 minutes ahead, whatever. There's not this tension, even like we saw last week with the teams running. It's just it's really hard for them to do that. I don't expect it next week. But I'm glad. I still think we've got a strong group of teams, and any of them could pull it out and win.
Yeah, 100%. So let's go up to the top of the leg. Let's start off in Fredericton. Looks like a beautiful city. I mean, we pretty much, there's not been a city in Canada that I've been like, eh, it's not that beautiful. But this one looks great. I'm glad they finally got there. I think I was reading that this means they've been to all the provincial capitals. So it took them 6 entire seasons to get there. Is that right? I think that's
right. Yeah. No, sorry. yes, that I believe that's correct. At least that's what one of the listeners mentioned. And I trust that that's the case, because it does feel like this is one of the last kind of, I wouldn't say notable, because someone could be in a city and be like, hey, what about us? What I mean is just, you know, they have seemed to hit most of the noteworthy areas, but, you know, it'll be interesting to see as we go forward. And I assume we'll have a season 7, judging the ratings have been really solid this season. So I think that I wonder how they'll do it. They'll probably repeat some, but, you know, continuing on, it's going to be trickier to find places they haven't gone before.
Yeah. Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan is like, what about us, Dan? Seriously.
It's like, hey, I'm not Canadian. I'm doing my best here. I've learned a lot, though, from the show. But I agree. I think this was a fun place to go. And also, yeah, it joins the very long list of places that I would love to go to in Canada. You know, when I make my, you know, Canadian jaunt across the whole continent at some point in my life, when I just come into a bunch of money and time. But it was cool. And they started out, you know, we had a task that at Officer Square, kind of an extra task, which I thought might be trickier than it was, actually.
Yeah, it seemed like everybody knew what they were looking for. And I think some of this is testament to people having seen the show and knowing kind of what to have their eye on, what kinds of things they should be looking for. And it didn't seem like anybody got too bogged down in a detail that didn't matter.
Right. Yeah. Because at first you saw, you know, they had Phil, you know, being Phil and taking really good notes. And I thought, oh, that's good. And then Phil and Martina even got in a taxi and got ahead of the other team. So it seemed like they took a taxi for about a minute and a half. So I wonder if that cab driver was very happy. But basically, I thought, wow, that's a big move that's going to really extend it. But I don't think they gained more than a few minutes or, you know, from what we could gather. Everybody eventually got it and figured out the extra steps. And if they did miss it, we weren't shown it.
Yeah, and this ultimately didn't seem to have much of an effect on the outcome of the game. But I think the meat of the episode, and really they could have just spent the entire episode on this detour, which was diabolical for a number of reasons. On one hand, you had two tasks that tested very different aspects of your Amazing Race toolbox. You had a really tough mental task that required some hand-eye coordination and also some, shall we say, intestinal fortitude. And then you had the bog-standard, super difficult physical task that the pro athletes were naturally going to ace and everybody else was just going to have a terrible time with.
Yeah, and that was even trickier. I mean, I give the show credit because just making them do all those things without being so particular would have been hard. And you saw, I mean, Dylan and Kwame did not have an easy time. Granted, most of the problem for them, I think, was the other element of it, which was a memory task, which I thought was really clever, because what you're doing is you have people that are good at memory tasks, people that are good at physical stuff, and you say, oh, yeah, athletes that think you're going to just roll over this, you could run into problems. And they did. And you saw both of them, especially Dylan near the end, were hurting. And it makes you realize how hard that was, because we have not seen those guys physically really be tested by anything so far.
Well, and when you saw it take that much of a toll on them, it was like nobody else is going to come even close to finishing this task. And so I was even surprised when Adam and Courtney got as far as they did, because it's like Dylan and Kwame are really big, buff guys, and you knew they could do it. You knew Adam could probably do it, but I was very impressed by Adam and Courtney getting as far as they did, and then the rest of it, I was thinking, yeah, nobody else better try this.
Yeah, Taylor and Courtney may have lucked out in that, you know, they did not, because I'm not just picking on Courtney. Taylor seems to be a very good dancer, but the upper body strength you need for that, because Adam, barring him just having a mental block and stopping the last part of it literally 2 feet from where he needed to be or something, he would have finished it. And it looked like he would have finished it pretty much similar to those guys. But Courtney, of Adam and Courtney, to basically get through 3/4 of it, and probably, I mean, that was awesome. And I know they, at least for them, to give them credit too, they could have easily just said, we're here, we're going to stick this out, we are not going to switch. And for them to do that when they basically were in last, that made a huge difference, because who knows? I mean, I guess they would have made that face off regardless, but they didn't know that at the time.
Yeah, you have to pretty much assume that there's not going to be any bunching point, and that you just have to make as much time as you can wherever you can. So, and I think when you get down to four teams, it's like any little screw up you make, you think that's going to be the thing that does you in. So I can see where, I can see why they were as upset as they were and as stressed out as they were at the top of that. But going back for a second, I was momentarily surprised that Taylor and Courtney didn't give the boot camp one a shot, just because of what they do for a living. Because I would imagine that in order to be a Mountie, you have to go through a fairly similar set of physical challenges. But it turned out that everything worked out very, very well for them. So what do I know, right?
Well, yeah. And I think, I mean, they would have, but you saw that moment where we cut, I think, to cut to commercials where they were like, do we stay and wait? Because they couldn't get the limited stations, which talking about, so that they got there and then they kind of, they had the little makeshift sign that said it was full. And again, I think that was the right choice. It's not even about, yeah, I think their thought originally was, we're going to, like they do with the dances, they always take the more physical task, though they had no idea how physical this was. But basically here, I think they made the right choice. I mean, not just because of results. Results-based, you go, of course they did. They aced that other detour because of Taylor's amazing video game skills. But you don't know that's going to happen. And I think both them and Adam and Courtney making the quick decision, I think, made a difference. Because you saw with Adam, once she failed, before they even talked about it, Adam already said, we're switching, we're switching. They didn't hesitate much. And I think that helped them both.
Yeah, that was very smart thinking on their part. But also, I think you have to assume that the more times you try that task, the more difficult it's going to be.
Right. And I wondered, even with Dylan and Kwame, you know, when Dylan was pretty close and then he did the bags wrong, and you saw that, where I was thinking, he doesn't look so good. Like, there is a point, no matter how big of an athlete you are, and where there's a mental part where you're so tired, you can't even think straight. And then you have to be like, okay, do each one 15, bam, bam, bam. That's no joke. And that what looked so tiring to me more than the dragging was the one where you had to basically get down and jump up and get down. I was like, I'm exhausted just watching this right now.
Yeah, I definitely would have done the flight simulator. No question.
Yeah. And unfortunately, the flight simulator, to talk about that, that was just a situation where Martina and Phil just were not equipped for that for multiple reasons. And Martina was able to lift off, but just, she, according to an interview I read, she said her arms were too short and she couldn't, like, he had to, at the end, what made it work is he went in and grabbed something, which we didn't really see, to help them, but just could not land that helicopter. And then poor Phil had other problems at the same time.
Yeah, well, that looked pretty intense, and they crashed it in increasingly creative ways over the course of their 18 attempts at this task. So I do not blame Phil one bit for needing to take a little bit of a break.
Yeah, it was like an interesting flip side from their happier puking at the pie contest. And now, so that they're like, oh, this is kind of, you know, it's funny and whatever. And then you get to this one and it's like, they've reached the other end of the puking. This is not so good. But it did look, and you know, they've done this before. I think back to the season of the Amazing Race US with the reporters, where I think they did this one in the finale, if I remember correctly, or around that time. And part of me doesn't find this one was better than some. Sometimes I find these really boring. like watching a friend play video games a little bit. But I did feel like the drama here was better. And also just the touches, they show the helicopter and it'd be spinning and doing crazy stuff. And then the red when they crashed, I thought was a nice touch too.
Yeah, they should really, like, we need a skull and crossbones up on the screen when they crash.
Just like a talking one that's like mouth opens. It's like, you have died again. That is it.
Yes, exactly. I think it needs to be highlighted more that you just killed a whole helicopter full of people.
They just have a running tally of how many people you've killed while you're doing it. It's like, okay, Phil and Martina, you've killed 300 people. Please continue. Yeah, and I'm not saying, I mean, spending that much time in there, I sometimes get a little sick on like Star Tours or something. I mean, this is another level of being in there for that long, immersed. I mean, it looked pretty convincing as a simulator, like something they'd really use. It was not a makeshift simulator that we sometimes see.
No, it was definitely something that is really used. One thing I thought was interesting was that the simulator didn't fly over Fredericton proper. You had to pretend you were flying to Montreal and landing on the Bell Media Building, which I thought was especially hilarious because Bell owns CTV, which owns Amazing Race Canada.
They should have done a better job with the synergy there. Think of what they, you know, we've kind of pulled back on the product placement here near the end, but that really could have done something right there. But yeah, this was one where I also feel like you could come into this and think this won't be that hard. And it was, I mean, we saw there's a huge, and that's one thing I do like is when you have, especially the detours, you don't feel like it's so diabolical. There's a wide range of teams in terms of ability. The worst thing you want is like last week where everyone did the makeup and you're like, there's no real difference here. They're all going to do it in the same time. This one, I mean, Taylor and Courtney did it in 15 minutes. I guess 5 minutes it had to be, but whatever, you know, and then Phil and Martina were there, but still Phil and Martina did get out of there before Adam and Courtney due to the time. So it's impressive they pulled that out and then had to just wait.
Yeah, well, if you think about it, every time they were in there, it was 5 minutes, right? I guess not every time, because if they crashed it, then it was game over and that counted as a try, right? But assume like 5 minutes for every one of these tasks and like factoring in a little time to reset and whatnot. If they took them 18 tries, not even factoring in when they had to wait for it to be someone else's turn, that means it took them an hour and a half, more than an hour and a half, to get through the task. So they were there for that long before Adam and Courtney rolled up.
Yeah, that's crazy. It also makes me think that, you know, Dylan and Kwame really spent a long time sitting there waiting at that face-off after they lost the game to Taylor and Courtney, just like, come on, guys, really? Can we just, I mean, I'm assuming, though, I don't know how long that fit took either, because that one, it's so hard to know because you had to have some rest time in the middle, too. So maybe they weren't waiting as long as you might think, like an hour. Maybe it was 30 minutes or something.
Yeah. I mean, without a 24 style clock imposed on the bottom of the screen, we're never going to know. But it's interesting to speculate. So I think that's about all I have as far as my notes on the detour. These were not tasks that we've never seen before.
Yeah, I wanted to mention one more thing, which is the last moment for, well, Kwame, when he was doing it, got the photos. One, we saw a photo of his dad, who was in the Navy, and his grandpa, who was in the Army. And then also the moment when Dylan was pulling and you had all the guys cheering. I was looking for Chewy and Happy, but I don't think they were there. But you had all the guys cheering, and like the show really made that out to be this huge achievement. And again, I don't want to overthink this because, you know, I said they were getting eliminated this week, so you know how my predictions are. But that moment was interesting. It was a cool scene. I thought it was awesome. But it also really made, like, it was like we are rooting for them at that moment. So that's something to think about as we go forward, I will say.
Yeah, that did not escape my notice either. And it is very reminiscent of the Mickey and Pete edit in season 2. And that's really all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah, we can dig in a little more into it when we get to the questions. But yeah, face-off time.
Oh boy, face-off time. Actually, I didn't hate this task. I thought this was kind of a fun, this was a fun spin on what would have otherwise been a pretty normal three-on-three basketball game.
Yeah, I liked it, actually. I thought it was one of the better face-offs they've done, just because I felt like putting them in the wheelchairs, it led to some surprises. I mean, yes, when you look at this, you do think Phil and Martina would be the least likely, but I wouldn't have guessed that Taylor and Courtney would beat Dylan and Kwame. So it seemed like there was kind of a learning curve to it, and it led to several. The first match was really close, and then obviously the last match was extremely close. So the fact that there was tension and good matchups, and it didn't seem like anyone was just, like, you see, like, they did golf, and if a team was really, or volleyball too, teams are really, really bad at those, there's only so much you can do. This seemed like, yes, you got to be able to shoot, but you don't, it's not, you can't just run over a team mostly.
Yeah, and that's the best kind of face-off task, is a task that everybody has an equal chance of being decent at, and the more times you play, the better you can get at it. And you're right, there have been tasks where it's like, you're not going to get better at that task in an afternoon. But with something like this, like, nobody has done it before, I would wager. But a little bit of practice will make you better at it. And I think that was very apparent, as we saw everybody who had to do it more than once got much better on their second try.
Yeah, because, I mean, Dylan and Kwame lost the first game and then beat Phil and Martina 22-8, which was more scoring than anyone really did.
I mean, insofar as it is possible to get dunked on when you're in a wheelchair, they definitely dunked on Phil and Martina.
So again, I look at Martina, just both of them, and I know Martina is not out there playing basketball all the time. So, and I'm not picking on her. I'm not sure Phil is, or I'm not even sure Adam and Courtney really are based on how they performed. But there was a bit of an equalizer. I mean, Adam, you would think, oh, he's the big athlete, kept falling over in the chair. So it's like, there definitely is some differences to this, where it's very, the skills required beyond when you're stationary and shooting, even that is not the same.
Yeah. Yeah. I was waiting for someone to go full murder ball, but I guess in Amazing Race Canada Heroes Edition, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. We saw Courtney of Taylor and Courtney kind of doing some questionable defense. I felt like, what is a foul here? I mean, you just put your hands all over him. I mean, we didn't see any fouls. I guess it probably had to be like, you basically push someone over in their chair, probably would be the only type of thing that would be a straight foul. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure what constitutes a foul in this universe, but it was also a very short game. I don't think they want to stop the clock so you can take timeouts and do free throws.
They're not going to have the TV timeout, and then they try and ice the shooter or anything. But I guess it was, yeah, I mean, really the most tense thing was, because I wonder when they finish tied and then they're like, what are they going to make them do 2 more minutes or whatever? But to do sudden death, it was like, holy cow. That was that in the last faceoff, pretty tense. And you even had the Phil takes a shot and cut to commercials moment.
Yeah.
Which I was like, oh my gosh, but I didn't have to wait for commercials. That might have been more tense for me.
Yeah, they could not have gotten any luckier with regard to the story that they needed to tell there. Like, go into sudden death overtime and make a shot right away. That's like made for cut to commercial. Like, I'm surprised people didn't just stop and look at the camera and be like, hey, we're cutting to commercial now.
Yeah. Then sometimes they cut to commercial, like when you find the legs that are boring, and it's like they cut to commercial when someone's like, I don't know where we are. And then a minute later, they're like, oh, we know where we are.
Yeah.
And that's like where it's like, oh, come on. And they replay the same scene twice. This at least, like, yeah, you do think when they cut, he's probably going to miss. I don't know why. I just feel like whenever they're going to cut like that, it generally is not going to happen. But it wasn't so telegraphed. If he had hit it, I would have been like, okay, all right, that's all right. But like we can talk about, I mean, this was the moment. Basically, we got a question even that said, where do they lose? And granted, other things led to them having the face off at this point or whatnot. And there was the roadblock. But still, it really came down crazily enough to one, to two shots, his and then Adam's shots, to see who got to the finals.
Yeah. And it's funny, if you asked them where they thought they went wrong, or what is the moment that they are going to hold on to from this episode, I think they would unequivocally say it's the flight simulator, because that seems to be where it felt the most frustrating. And this went by so quick, but you're right. Like, that's the moment. Like, that's the sliding doors moment, where we have a Phil and Martina winning the Amazing Race Canada, and then the reality that is the one we live in, where they did not.
Yeah, because I mean, even with all those problems at the flight simulator, they still got to the second face-off. So it wasn't like, yeah, maybe if they had aced that, they would have been at the first one against Dylan and Kwame, probably, because, I mean, I don't know, Taylor and Courtney got there first, so maybe not, against one of the other teams. And instead, they were still had two shots at it. Well, one, really, because that second game was so ridiculous. But, you know, I think, too, if they had even started the race or started this leg and they had said, you're going to be one basketball shot away, they'd be like, we'll take those odds. We got a chance. Because it seemed like Adam and Martina did similar at the roadblock. I mean, maybe one was faster than the other, but there did not seem to be, barring someone completely screwing up, a huge chance to gain a lot of time. It almost seemed like the show thought possibly whoever lost the faceoff was probably getting eliminated. They gave him a chance. They gave him that last roadblock, but that was not a roadblock you could do in 2 minutes. That was a roadblock you had to learn how to do. So the odds were pretty good they were going to go home there.
Yeah, that is true. Although I think it's better than just having the face-off and then the mat being right there, which is how Amazing Race US seems to be doing it lately. I think it's really important to have another task in there so that you at least have a chance for somebody else to screw up, or for you to pick it up very quickly. Or, I mean, who knows? Maybe somebody's secret superpowers that they're fluent in the Wolastoqi language.
Yeah, and I totally agree. That's the thing. I was excited when the U.S. did, you know, the face-off, whatever they called it. But I feel like that mistake of putting it right there and making a team get eliminated because they can't throw those little coins or something, or run around in a Fry costume, I feel like that really brought the whole season down for me.
And yeah, it was demeaning.
Yeah, yeah, it made me think like, yeah, okay, that team that got eliminated is probably not going to win the race. But a season that wasn't so bad, those legs were just duds because of that moment. So here, and I even think back to the season 3 when they had the curling in the second to last episode, and Simi and Ope were last in the face-off. But then they had that task after, which was the one we talked about last week, the wonderful drunken roadblock. They had a chance there. It was really close, and against Gino and Jesse. So again, it's one of those things where, yes, the team that was last in the face-off got eliminated, but there was a chance. So, and that's all you can ask for. I wouldn't want them to start the leg with the face-off. I want it to have consequences. I just don't want it to have complete consequences, I guess.
Yeah, I think the sweet spot is you need to do something to get you to the face-off, and then you need to have something after you get out of the face-off, so that it's not the reason that it doesn't dictate the order.
Yeah, and teams did finish the same way they came out of the face-off. But that doesn't mean for sure. We saw teams being there at the first two teams and last two teams were there at the same time. So, and actually, I think when Adam got there, not sure if Kwame was still there or not, but there was some bunching together. So, you know, regardless, I think the complaints mostly about this are because people love Phil and Martina, which I understand. You want to see them have a better chance, but I don't feel like they got like unnecessarily screwed by this at all.
Yeah, I think neither did they end up being. I don't think they've been in the race longer than they should have either. I think that's important to note. That I think sometimes I've seen people say, oh, this team has been in there way too long. Clearly something was rigged for them. And I don't think that's the case either. I think we've had such a variety of tasks this season, and Phil and Martina have really met everything that's been presented to them, and they've tackled it without complaining and with the greatest attitude. And I can see why everybody is now bereft at them not being in the race anymore. I don't think they overstayed their welcome, but
oh no.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And like I mentioned last week, they've never really been in huge jeopardy. The closest was the U-turn. They never had a non-elimination, which often sometimes teams like Simeon Opé, for example, not to pick on them, but teams that get to four or five and you're like, what are they doing here? Get there because of not, or even sometimes win, get there because of non-eliminations. And that's another thing I like about the season. None of the final four had a non-elimination that they were saved by. They all have finished second to last or better every leg. So you get to the end and you go four or three and you're like, yes, Adam and Courtney haven't won a leg, but they also have always beaten somebody. So you're like, it's okay. There's something, it makes you think, regardless of where this goes, yes, we have a team that won five legs, but the other teams have hung in there well. Where Phil and Martina, if they made the finals of one, I would have said they totally deserve it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have been happy with any combination of these three, even though this is the, perhaps the saddest combination.
Yeah. So should we talk a bit about the roadblock? I know we've kind of mentioned it already. But
yeah, I don't have much to say about this roadblock. I think it's a clever combination of a couple of things that we've seen before. I'm thinking specifically of the roadblock where they were on the vintage train and had to walk through the train and memorize the titles of the art. That seemed like pretty much exactly the same task as this, with the added wrinkle of there being a language that none of them speak, that they have to figure out what title goes with what question being asked.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was familiar, but I also thought it was well done. And I do really like they had the one with the totem poles and the stories, I believe, or I may be mixing a few up. But and I think that was in season four, where I like when they bring the local culture in and not in the most obvious way possible. Like we've talked about some of the legs where we felt like, oh, they paddle boat in an area or something. But you see something like this and it's like, this feels right for this show. It's tricky enough where it's also good as a task, but it kind of checks all the boxes for me. Yes, it's not the one that we're going to obsess over forever, but I think it was well done and still challenging enough to make for a good last one.
Yeah, it definitely didn't feel like an afterthought like some of these roadblocks have in the past, but you know, sometimes they're hurting for things to do in a particular town and they're just like, oh, well, we'll go into an art gallery and we'll look at some art. I think we've seen several tasks in art galleries that answer to that description. But this one was very special to the area. And I think the culture was really powerful. And so I'm not mad at it. It's all right.
Yeah, and I like the way the racers approached it, too. Nobody complained. Everybody just seemed respectful and kind of fought their way through it. And I don't know, it felt right, despite the fact that you kind of had a feeling that, I don't know, I sensed that it was probably going to be it for Phil and Martina, but it was too bad. But that's what happens. And I thought their ending was really emotional and totally classy and you know, heartwarming. It was cool.
Well, I thought Phil had the best quote maybe of the whole season, where he says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Yeah, it was great. And I felt so bad for him too, because you saw once he told them they were eliminated, he was feeling it so strongly because of that shot. And it's like, you know, and he shouldn't. I mean, we said that was the reason they went home, but honestly, it's like, it's one shot of basketball in a race where they were awesome the whole time, not just as characters, but they were great racers too.
Yeah, you can't really let it haunt you like that. And I don't think it will. I think they seem genuinely surprised that they made it as far as they did and just really happy to have been there.
Yeah, her saying, you know, that I wanted to make sure for Phil that I got past like three, and then also just like them walking away and being like, that was really fun. It's like, that's how you want to see a team, a fan favorite fourth place team, go out. Is at least if they go out and it's sad, yeah, you don't feel like it's going to haunt them forever. I mean, not, you know, it's not one of those things where they're just hurting. I mean, it was a great experience for them.
Yeah, it was, and I think it was a great experience for us to get to watch them as well.
Yeah. And I, you know, I want to say that I was torn too, because like we've talked about this season, I really like Adam and Courtney. I've been pulling for them for a lot of it, especially because you're pulling for them because they always seem to be about near the back. So it was one of those things where I was not upset they made it. This was not a case where you had a third place team, which has happened some seasons where I'm like, oh gosh, can't the fan favorite just beat that annoying team? No, I wanted them to make it, but I wanted Philip Martina to make it too. But I also didn't want a weird Final Four. So there was no good solution here.
No, it was going to be rough any way you slice it. So going into the finale, Dan, should we go ahead and like officially put our trifectas in?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I'm torn by this because the team that I picked to win and you picked to win, but the team that I also picked first in our draft is still on the board. And has a story of we only need to win the last leg. So I'm going to say they're going to win. However, Adam and Courtney are going to win. However, I can see all three happening. I don't know why I haven't seen the Taylor and Courtney win all season, despite five first places, which is with the finale what Sam and Paul got last season. But basically, they would have six. If Kayla and Courtney win, they'll have six wins, which is amazing. However, I don't see it. I feel like I don't know. I feel like if I'm wrong about Adam Courtney, I think it's going to be Dylan and Kwame, which I would not have said a week or two ago, but I'm sticking with Adam and Courtney. I feel like the Melissa bot posted another new picture this week, congratulating them again and putting a photo of Amy and Maya this time, which I enjoyed. And again, I don't put them with them. I do understand that they haven't won a leg, but I'm going to stick with, I picked them at the beginning and was not spoiled. So I see the story. I don't think it's 100%, but I'm not going to bail out on the one remaining team from Team Dan right now. What do you think?
I appreciate your commitment to Team Dan. I guess. And you know, going into this leg, I would have said, you know, we picked Adam and Courtney at the beginning and then spent the entire season being wrong. And I didn't see the story either until maybe this week. And now I'm kind of thinking, yeah, I could see that. But I think I can also see a Dylan and Kwame win pretty easily, too. And that's just down to the last two episodes. And they're really laying it on thick as far as their backstories. And I think that if it was any other team winning, we would have seen some childhood pictures from the other two teams by this point. And Taylor and Courtney have a compelling story we could have gotten easily in any of these segments, where we see pictures of them as young children and talking more about their family connection and how everybody in their family is a Mountie. And you get tiny snippets of it, but it seems very forgettable, and it seems like they are looking at their stats. They're the logical winners, but I think there's going to be an upset, and I think the upset is actually going to be Dylan and Kwame. And I think they will win deservedly, but I also think it's not going to be as suspenseful as we would have liked.
I can't argue, and that's why I called out that moment earlier where 2 weeks in a row we've gotten photos, I believe, I don't know if it was last week or not, but we've gotten multiple examples. I think we did get one photo of a young Courtney from Taylor and Courtney, but this episode had a lot of military connections or the Mounties connections, you know, had the whole deal. And we didn't see Taylor and Courtney talk about it really at all. I mean, maybe a little, but not much. So it wouldn't be a shock, but I do feel like the story isn't totally there. I don't know. I think their story has really been they're good racers and they like each other and they have fun.
Yeah, and good racers who like each other and have fun. We got that story last season, I guess.
Yes. But we did have a little bit more too with like the coming out story and all of that, which I felt like was a powerful story and their relationship. So that I felt like was a driver, and also it was compared to who they were up against in the final episode. So yeah, I can't disagree with your pick. And I think I just felt like, well, I'm going to stick with what I picked because I do see a story there. And they did have quotes, Adam and Courtney, again, about we haven't won a leg yet, but all that matters is the last leg. We just have to get there. They've had a lot of adversity. But I think that may be a second place story. So I'm going to stick with my pick, but we'll see.
Yeah, I guess so. So I think that takes us up to our questions.
Yeah, and a lot of the questions were about what we just talked about. You know, we see there seems to be a lot of different thoughts. Like I said, the Melissa Bot mentioned that. Uday Verma mentioned Dylan and Kwame. Andrew Butts is rooting for the Mounties. You know, it's interesting. And Natalie Franklin even brought up the Dylan and Kwame. Does the late edit make them more likely to win? So it's interesting because she said she can't decide which edit we're seeing. And it's exactly what we just talked about. So I find that really fascinating. I don't know if we have additional questions about that, but let's get to this one because this one is a fun thing to do.
You're not going to kick the questions off with the many variations we got on how do I find meaning in my life now that Phil and Martina are no longer on my television?
Sam Grandin's why, God, why? No, I'm not going to start with that.
Okay,
one.
So start where you were going to start.
Owen Craig on Twitter. Can you and Jess please rank the Amazing Race Canada fourth place boots in order of most to least heartbreaking? And I pulled all these out, and this is really hard because, I mean, it's not impossible. I'm not saying that the top choice is hard, but it's a pretty good group of teams. Like if you grabbed all these teams and put them in an all-star season or four of them, I'd be like, that's a pretty good start. That's not bad. You know, it's not the best, but it's okay. So Jess, how do we do this? How do we rank these six teams, which I guess I could them quickly if people want to remember, cause I had to look it up, but real quick, Jed and Dave, Suki and Jinder, Simi and Ope, Frankie and Amy, Karen and Bert, and Phil and Martina. So I think there's a few we can kind of put on each end, but I'll let you kind of, what do you think?
Well, it's weird because you have to separate teams that you enjoyed, that you liked, from heartbreaking exits, because I think they're two different questions. Although frequently it is a heartbreaking exit because you loved the team so much, which I think is the case this week. But yeah. There are teams like Jet and Dave. I was so crushed to see them go out. But on the other hand, I didn't think their exit was that heartbreaking. And it certainly made sense in the context of everything that was happening that leg. They were great guys and they were arguably the biggest stars of season one. But it's like that isn't going to destroy them. Whereas Simi and Ope, not necessarily the most dynamic team we ever had on the show, but the way they went out was just very, very sad.
That's a good point, because I think part of Jet and Dave, too, is I was kind of bored by some of the other teams in the finale. So I really wanted them to make it, you know, but like you said, I mean, there just seemed to be so much more emotion there for Simi and Ope and even Karen and Bert, who, like, you know, Bert had that experience. Oh, I mean, I think that was the
worst.
The bugs and everything. And it was really heartbreaking. Now, I wouldn't say, you know, like I said, All-Stars, I don't know if they're a team that's going to be an All-Star team. But that was a really tough exit, too. So, and I don't even remember how Suki and Jinder went out. Unfortunately, sorry, Suki and Jinder. We're not really. So I don't know if that, I mean, they were a fun team, but they kind of stumbled their way there. So I don't know. I kind of felt like that was kind of like we talked about a team that survived longer than I thought they would. So I don't know. It's as far as ranking. Phil and Martina, I think, were the most heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And then I would say like Simi and Ope and Karen and Bert, just because of the relationships, would come next. If you.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm with you on all of this. I can't actually remember how exactly Frankie and Amy went out. Just that I remember liking them a lot because they hit this same kind of Martina and Phil territory where they were a team we didn't necessarily expect to go far, who surprised us continually. And so on that angle, it was very sad to see them go, but I can't remember them necessarily going out in a way that crushed me.
No, I think theirs was a case where they survived longer than we thought. And like, I was thinking they were fifth. So actually I looked it up. I was like, oh, they were fourth. Yeah, I don't know who I thought was fourth. So I think that's the case where you kind of, I would probably put them lower just because I feel like they, in a different way than Phil Martino, they exceeded expectations just because we kind of laughed because we thought they were going to do so bad. But
I think they went undrafted. So yeah,
I think they did, because I think it was a number of teams. I forget how we did it. I think either they were last, or maybe if there was only 10, I probably got them, I think, because I had a really bad team that time, that year, except for I had the winners. But yeah, so I think it's kind of groups. This is how I would put Phil Martino at the top, and tell me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. Then you have Karen and Bert and Simi and Ope as a group. Then Jet and Dave kind of in their own spot.
Yep.
Then Frankie and Amy, and then Suki and Jinder. That's how I would do it, I think.
Yeah, co-signed.
Okay, great. Well, I'm glad I asked you a question, then I just took over and answered most of it.
Well, that's all of these questions are for both of us. We share the questions.
All right. So what else we got here?
Well, let's see. We got a lot of questions about the face-off, and a lot of people that are questioning the use of the face-off. So this is interesting. Jen Gage on Facebook says, did they overuse the face-off this season? How do you feel about having one right before the final leg?
Well, here's the interesting thing. This is where I kind of fell off the deep end in doing a lot of research on this. And because I'm going to be clear, I don't have this from memory. There are people like, you know, people that remember every tribe on Survivor. I'm not one of those people. I have to look things up. So I looked this up. They started the face-off in season 3, and they've had 2 face-offs every season. So just to kind of, since then, to answer that question, we've had 2 face-offs every season. So I don't think it was overused. The other thing to note is, I'm not going to go through all the face-offs because that would be really boring, but they usually have a face-off in the middle, anywhere between leg 5 and leg 8. Then they have a face-off in the episode right before the finale. And that's been the case every time. So I know we had some questions about, like Ryan Gerald said, interesting choice to have face-off Final Four. They've actually had a face-off at Final Four every time.
So in other words, it's not that interesting.
No, it's kind of, this is what they do. And another thing that's interesting, or not interesting, is that the team that loses the face-off has been eliminated every time in the Final Four. And actually, pretty much the team that loses the face-off is last every time, except for one time where Frankie and Amy beat Rita and Vet. But I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole. But my point is, they always have another task after the face-off. This followed really the trends that have been in the past, where a team that finishes last can't catch up. But in a sense, I don't mind that, because to me, the face-off is a task. It's not just for fun. Like we talked about, they have another task. I think it's okay to make it a big deal because it's important. It's you almost, and to me, add more stakes to the final episode before the end.
Yeah, it's certainly, I have never disliked the use of the face-off, just because it's a new way to shuffle the order around and get teams bunched together in a way that they, you know, they might have gotten even more spread out. I mean, look at how far ahead of everybody else Taylor and Courtney get. And now imagine a season with no face-offs.
Oh, boy. Yeah, because you see that both times they arrived first and had to wait. So it's like, at least they had, I mean, they ended up winning both times in the first face-off, but that's because they're good. And they can make a difference. You saw Nancy and Melissa in the first face-off got their second and ended up leaving last. So it's this one we had was a little more of the learning curve. Next team wins mostly, though it changed with Phil and Martina. But that wasn't the case at all. So I feel like there is variability beyond the disastrous water polo hockey, which was the first one. You know, there's been some good examples. The curling was amazing. They did bowling. They had that weird sort of curling thing last season. Crockett curl. But regardless, I think this was one of the better ones. And I don't have an issue with it. Excuse me, with it being where it was, because that is kind of what they've set up every season. Sure, if you want to make the argument that it shouldn't be this way and they should have it before the detour, oh, okay. But I think they put it in the right place, at least from my opinion.
Yeah. Well, if you don't mind me going out of turn here, we have one more kind of related question that posits something that is kind of interesting. I liked Matt Stewart's question here. Would this leg have been better designed by having the detour and roadblock switched around? It seemed as if there was no positional change from the art gallery, but big variation possibilities with the detour. It likely yields the same result, but it didn't give teams much of a chance to make up time once they were done with the face-off. I kind of like this.
I actually do like that now that I think it's like I'm contradicting Dan from 2 minutes ago, but I do like it. I like where the face-off is, but he makes a good point because like we talked about, the roadblock was a cool cultural moment, but it wasn't fascinating and it was something you probably did in an hour, you know, whereas who knows what would have happened. You put those two detours there. I mean, yes, Phil and Martina probably, if they end up last in the face-off, probably can't recover. But it would have been interesting to see what happened, especially given how it went, where we had Adam and Courtney go over there and switch. And I mean, I don't know. That's an interesting alternate universe approach because it does. The show generally doesn't seem to like to put a long detour at the end of a leg. It seems, I mean, I have not done the research, but it does make it more interesting. And they've never done this. I think every time we've had a face-off here, they put a roadblock behind it. But that would make it, I like it. Matt, I rubber stamp this.
Yeah, the only flaw I can think of in this otherwise perfect plan is that I think it would be really hard to assume anybody's going to make it through that army detour after they've done all of the other tasks on this leg. I think if you don't go into that army detour semi-fresh, you're not going to get through it at all.
Yeah, that's a good point. And on a related note, Andrew Butts asked on Facebook, am I the only one who thought this leg was stacked in Dylan and Kwame's favor, physical test and basketball? The way this leg was designed, you could almost tell if you were just told who the challenges who was going on. Now, I haven't thought about this, but I'm curious just to get your reply on this one.
I mean, I never think that any particular leg is stacked in anybody's favor, although this did seem to be an uncharacteristically physical one in a season where we've spent a lot of time on finding tasks and dancing tasks. It was weird to see this one pop up that kind of tested an entirely different set of skills. So from that angle, yeah, maybe, but I don't think it was necessarily Dylan and Kwame's leg all around. I mean, they got defeated in the basketball. And that kind of says to me that it wasn't totally just kind of shoved in the wheelhouse of the strong guys.
Right. And who knows if they would have even made it this far. Because, I mean, yes, they weren't in super danger, but what happens if they never got U-turned, which still amazes me that that didn't happen. But, you know, normally you look at the strong guys in a season that doesn't really have super strong. I mean, they have Adam, but you know what I mean? Doesn't have like another strong male team physically. You think that team's going to be in real danger of being U-turned, but it just didn't happen. And they were behind. They could have been U-turned because they kept getting lost. So there's no guarantee they would have been there. I mean, sure, that task was skewed, but Taylor and Courtney won the leg. Something we also have to remember. And because they excelled at that simulation better than anyone did at any part of the detour.
Yeah, so they actually won the leg by a wide margin.
Yeah, I bet you it was who knows how long. I mean, half hour or whatnot, you know, more because Kwame was still there when Adam showed at the roadblock. So they were much closer in that way. So yeah, so I'm not saying that I understand Andrew's concern. I'm not saying, well, that was dumb. What I'm saying is just, I think they designed this to not knowing who's going to be there and just trying to mix things up so you don't have too many things in a row, notwithstanding the many, many dances we had earlier.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, so I was just going to say something funny that someone mentioned. Rasmus Elias brought up this on Twitter that I'm just going to read this. Taxi drama in the US version. Get out. This is our cab. Taxi drama in the Canadian version. Sorry. This is our cab. Oh, okay. Sorry. Just like, I like that comparison. It was totally true. It seemed like a setup for some super taxi gate and screaming and yelling. And it was more like, yeah, my bad. We're good. And this is teams are doing this in the final four. It's crazy, Jess.
Well, you can't steal a cab in Amazing Race Canada Heroes Edition. Yeah, they'll kick you out of Canada. They'll make you come live down here.
They'll make you be on the US version where like teams call and cancel other people's cabs and think it's funny. Ugh. Not the best example I can think of, but that was funny. I like this about Amazing Race Canada.
Yeah, I do too. And I also liked that the cab driver was kind of considering himself a de facto member of the team. So he's like, no, this is Adam and Courtney's cab. And that was funny too.
He did that multiple times.
Yeah.
It was just like, I was like, man, they must have been really nice to that guy. They must have given him a good tip. But things like that, they add to the show. So that was fun too. I think we covered all the various Phil and Martina fun, you know, like people have mentioned. It was a sad exit, but I think we'll see him again.
Yeah, we have not seen the last of them. And, you know, we've got a lot of time between now and whenever they decide to air Amazing Race US. I'm sure that we can wrangle Phil and Martina for a little post-season coverage if that is something that people are interested in hearing.
Yeah, because I know that Martina is someone who pays attention to what we're doing. So people, if you would like to hear that, I'm not asking you to do anything crazy.
Yeah, but, don't harass anybody.
No, but if you want to send a nice tweet, put a nice tweet out there, that would be great. But yeah, no Jericho not getting canceled type of moments here. You know, nothing crazy. Wow, that was a dated reference. My goodness. no Timeless not getting canceled. That's the better reference. Okay, so I guess are we ready for the kiss slash babe count?
I think we are ready for the kiss slash babe count. We did finally get a kiss this week, so that was good.
Yes.
One kiss. And then to balance it out, we got 26 babes.
You know, I have not kept up, but I think you're going to win that bet. I don't know. I remember. I mean, I feel like we've got to be getting up there. I just haven't kept track because that wasn't the official bet. But I think you were on this one, Jess.
Yeah, I think so. And I think the way that we're going to do this is we have this bet going where the loser is going to donate some money to a Canadian charity corresponding to how bad they were at guessing how many kisses there were. But since I'm going to lose the kiss count bet, what I'm going to do is I'm going to add the babe count to the kiss count. And that's the amount of money I'm going to donate.
Wow. That's good. Yeah. So you just got to hope then that they don't do like 2,000 babes next week. And then you'll have to be like, well, maybe I'll do something different.
Well, in my defense, I think the final leg is usually not that suspenseful. So if they think that they've got a chance at pulling it out and it's like excruciatingly close, that's when we'll get lots and lots of babes. But if they drop down to third place and they never make it up again, we're not going to see a lot of babes.
Yeah, that's true. I did want to point out Adam's tweet about that we should have started a baby count for Dylan and Kwame when because they were saying that a lot when they were trying to. I think it was not because he's calling them babies, but because there was a lot of baby when he was trying to urge on at Dylan. And Adam even called out they've stopped kissing, but just on TV. No one worry. Just all on right. TV.
They're kissing in real life.
I know everyone was concerned there, but no, he clarified it for us.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this has been really fun. And I think that's a great idea that you're going to donate for all that.
Yep. Well, that's where I'm going. And I don't need to have the totals. I will tally up the full totals for next week's finale coverage, just so y'all know. But I don't need to have the totals in front of me to know that I'm losing this bet.
Yeah, and I know it makes me feel a little better. I'm just glad that Team Dan has one team in the finale, so I already think that I'm not so bad at all these predicting things.
Well, there you go. It could have gone much worse for you.
Yeah, I could have lost the first five teams and been done. So, and then I would have just never mentioned Team Dan again and hoped everybody forgot.
Yeah, the only reason we talk about this draft is because you still have a team in it.
Exactly. And it's Adam and Courtney, but cool. So looking at the finale, they're going to Banff, you know, saw a lot of people going woo and we're almost there and who knows, should be fun, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, I was supposed to go to Banff this summer. And then I ended up changing jobs and resetting all my vacation time. So wasn't able to make the trip, hoping to do it next summer. I get to go to Toronto this weekend, though, so there's that.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. You can go visit all the sites from the most memorable leg of the season.
I'm going to actually try to pack a car in the middle of a crowded intersection just because I got to be that much like everybody on my favorite show.
Nothing in the front seat. Don't make that mistake.
And you need to be able to see in the rearview mirror. You need to be able to see through the window.
And just bring some cones and line it up and back through it. No one will think that's weird.
Yep. And I've got to make sure I deflate my blow up doll.
In a really strange way, basically. Yeah. That's about all I remember from that episode. But
me too. It was not a total barn burner between that and the bread. But I did want to invite all of you guys to participate in the Kiss Count contest in your own special way. If you go to robhasawebsite.com/kisscount, instructions are there to participate in our little competition we have going. All you got to do is make a contribution of at least $10 Canadian to the Canadian cause of your choice. Send the receipt to me at jess@robhasawebsite.com. And right before the finale airs, so you have pretty much until Tuesday night to get those donations in and send them to me. Before the finale airs, we'll do the drawing and we'll announce the winner in next week's podcast. And then I'll get in touch with you directly to handle your bestowal of your Rob Has a Website buff. So thank you to everybody that's participated so far. We've raised a few $100s for assorted Canadian causes, and that's really exciting. And thanks again to Adam and Courtney for suggesting this to us, because we've had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, it's been great. It's made this season, which has been a good season, but even more entertaining and just fun getting to interact with you guys in a different way.
Yeah, it's been super great. So we love interacting with you guys in any way you choose. You can feel free to leave comments on robhasawebsite.com. Just find the thread for the episode and leave your comments there. That's a great way to get in touch. You can also tweet at us. You can reach me at Haymaker Hattie.
And I am at the Dan Heaton. And thanks to everybody for all the great questions. This was probably our most packed week of questions and comments across the board. And hoping for more with the finale.
Yeah, I'm sure we're going to get a lot because you as listeners have been really, really great, great observers, great askers, and raising a lot of topics that we wouldn't have thought of to cover ourselves. So we really appreciate that. Another way to join the conversation is to become a patron of Rob Has a Website. You can do that by going to robhasawebsite.com/Patreon, and that'll take you to a page that gives you the details of all the different levels. And contributors at the $10 a month level and above get access to our patron Facebook group where people interact and talk about all things reality TV, including The Amazing Race Canada. And we get some great discussions going on there. People form lifelong friendships. So I can't promise you're going to meet your best friend in the patron Facebook group, but it has happened before. So I think that brings us to the end of our program. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. Thanks to Rob for hosting us. Thanks to Dan for being a great co-host. Thanks to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. And we'll see you all next week.